So hi everybody, it's Michelle, and this is June 16, 2020, and welcome to a very special edition of the Loving Kindness series. Whether you're here live or you're listening to the recording afterwards, this is such an important call, and it's one that we're going to do something that I've not done in this way, in this community, I think since probably 2013, but it's time and it's powerful. And so we'll get there in a little bit. I just want to, I just have a couple of announcements before we leap in. And the first is Jasmine was asking, when will the stories series be held this summer? So it will be Tuesdays. For stories that sell now, Tuesdays from July 28th to September 1st. So it goes basically, it runs through July, but, it runs through August, but starts a week earlier and ends a week later on Tuesdays at a regular time. There will be a pre-call to give us a jump start. It's probably July 14th. That date is not completely certain. I will let you know when we know for sure. We just moved it. So then Story Foundations will be Thursdays starting July 2nd through to July 20th. We have Yoga for Entrepreneurs July 10th. So there's lots to serve and support you this summer. Let it be a service to you. Let it be support for you. And I'm super excited. We have a deep dive into story this summer in a way that is unprecedented and pieces that I've been wanting to teach in this community. And you guys are the ones who are ready. Pieces I've been wanting to teach for years and years. So that's announcements. Let me see. I think what I'm going to do, there's just four of us here live today, which is highly unusual. That hasn't happened in a long, long, long time. So I was going to call for Wins, but I know, Lindsay, you're here and not speaking for obvious reasons. If you guys haven't seen what Lindsay and her family just went through, you can check out the Facebook page. Marla, I don't see you here, so that leaves actually visible you and I, Yvonne. So rather than calling for Wins, I'm going to jump right into content, and then we're going to do a deep dive into the meta meditation today. So rather than leaping forward with content, we're going to be doing the next new content piece next week. And there's always plenty of time and space for all of it. But this deep dive into meta, I know so many of you have been really diving in, but we haven't actually practiced it together like this, as I say, since probably 2013. So it's more than time with everything going on in the world. And so I just want to preface it with, if any of you want to participate, those who are here live, thanks for being here live. If you want to participate by putting something in the chat, if you're not able to speak, that's fine. Don't feel that there's any need to participate also, speak if you can't, or if you're not in a place where you can speak, that's fine. Probably all of you know, it is June 16th. So this is the fourth anniversary of my man's death. And I wanted to share with you just this profound question, where are you in the story? Where are you in the story? And can you be okay with that? It's such an important question because we push so much to be in a different place, to be experiencing it in a different way, to move past things. And so, and today of all days, I've been reminded of, I lost those 15 pounds in a couple months. I think I reached my goal in February. And I mentioned this a couple months ago, but it's so relevant here. So I lost 15 pounds. And as I added up the number of times when I was, the number of days where I actually gained weight or stayed the same, it was most of the days. So it looked like most of the days I was either staying the same or moving backwards. Doesn't matter, I reached the goal. And it's such a simple, but profound example. Because when it comes, it's easier to see over there than what we may think of as the bigger life things. Where am I in the story? How am I feeling about my place in the story? And can I be okay with wherever I am, knowing that I'm headed somewhere that's beautiful, somewhere that's good, somewhere that I'm also don't need to be anxious about getting to? Can I make my peace with where I am right here? And so what is it, the question I want to ask you is, you know, what is it that will allow you to keep moving forward in the context of extreme self-care, whatever that is for you? Pause when needed, discern what will best help for the next step. Give yourself some space, give yourself some time, and know where you're headed, and this moves mountains. So again, Lindsay has a profound story to share about what's just, and again, I'm not going to ask you to share it here, Lindsay, just, you know, let the words drop in like rain. But again, for those who don't know, if you haven't seen it yet on Facebook, Lindsay's, there was an accident with pool chemicals that it could have been fatal. And thank goodness, Lindsay, you know, everyone in her family got out safely. Lindsay just got out of the hospital. And so what's the story we want to tell at a point like that? What's the story that we want to tell at a point of, you know, Black Lives Matter, COVID-19, so much happening in the larger world? And for me, there was a kind of crazy day a couple days ago. I got the news from Lindsay right when my parents had called me, worried that I wasn't safe because there was a giant storm in my city. No lives lost, but property, you know, huge property damage, hail the size of tennis balls, flooding in the city. And so my parents are checking in to make sure that I was safe. And I'd woken up feeling unwell. So I went for, I'm fine. Then it came out negative, I just found out. But I went in for a COVID test because I had all that morning, I woke up with all the secondary, not the primary ones, but all the secondary symptoms of COVID-19. And I'd just seen my daughter the day before. So without my taking a test, she would not be allowed to go into work at the lab because they have huge protocols for safety. And it just so happened I'd just seen her the day before. I hadn't seen her in a couple of weeks. So all this was happening at the same time that I got Lindsay's news. A team member yesterday was in for surgery. And so I tell you this, not because it's in my life anything extraordinary, everybody, you know, like for my personal life, you know, everybody's safe, everybody's fine. The city suffered some damage. But, you know, Lindsay, thank goodness, is, you know, now out of the hospital and beginning to recover. And so, you know, in my own personal life, all is well. But which, oh yeah, my father fell this week as well. So he hurt his neck and his shoulder. And so, you know, I tell you these things because we all have stuff going on in our lives. We all have things. So have you given yourself space? Have you focused on the important things? And which pieces of the story are you paying attention to? Sometimes there's big things that grab our attention. Like for today, obviously, you know, the anniversary of my man's death in the midst of Black Lives Matter, it has never affected me so profoundly as the day I got the call 4 years ago. And in a way, because you're in shock then, I think it's hit me more this year than ever before. And so what pieces of the puzzle are you paying attention to? So I told you some of the pieces that have been playing in my life over the last couple of days. But which pieces do I want to pay attention to? I was also playing with my daughter over the weekend. She came to play for a day and it was so beautiful to see her. I have a new fiction partner. I started writing fiction again, which I've done through much of my life, but had been on hold with the entrepreneurial journey. And a friend who I didn't even know wrote fiction, we got together Friday night and it was so beautiful. We just played with words and with story in a way that's going to influence the things I'm teaching about story with you guys over the summer. I've got a new copywriter in the company. There are new courses coming out. I sat on my deck in the sun for the first time in ages. I don't usually sit out there. I'm usually out for walks, but I need to be with some of the symptoms of COVID going on, even though I don't have COVID-19. I'm not allowed to go out in my city. Those are the law, you know, those are rules. course, until I get better. So instead, I was sitting in the sun, and it was my sister's birthday yesterday and my brother's birthday today. And I've had some of the best calls with my parents recently, and Yvonne newly playing at the Diamond Elite level, and my mom sending love to Lindsay because my parents, I was in the midst of the call. I had to call them back because I said, listen, I got to go. And I hung up on them, had to call them back. So I told them what was happening with Lindsay. Lindsay, I hope you don't mind. And my mom's a retired nurse, and she's sending love, saying, oh, you know, lungs, were they're resilient. They can heal quickly, dear. And so I pass that on. So like all this love, they've never even met. And this love being sent back and forth. And talking to my sister last night on her birthday, and she's doing well. And this community is amazing. I need it because I wasn't well on a number of levels. I still have those symptoms. I had to cancel a small group call and a private meeting, and just the people that I know are in this community and the people that I work with, knowing that they would be okay with that. And if they're not, they would get through it and we would talk. And like the people that I'm surrounded with, it's amazing. And the beautiful notes and messages that I've been receiving. So I'm telling you, it's almost like the bad news and the good news, right? Because you all have that too in your lives. Which pieces are you paying attention to? And are you forcing yourself also? Sometimes it's like, what's the worst empowering story? Sometimes in forcing yourself to pay attention to the good pieces, that may not be the most empowering story at any given moment. But I still ask you, what pieces are you paying attention to? Are they serving and supporting you? And where is the predominant weight for you at any given moment? Are you allowing yourself also to be where you are, not happy face on empty gas gauge and pushing over to, oh, here's the bright and cheery pieces. I'm not feeling any of them right now, but let me tell the world about that. But let me focus there, because can you be where you are in your story? Are you giving yourself space? And what are you paying attention to? So sometimes it's about letting go. So for me, I was on a call with, actually, you've met her. So my dear friend, Sarah. And so we spoke for quite a while yesterday. And yesterday, she was one of the people who was, you know, the anchor for me yesterday. And as part of our, I want to share part of our private conversation with you. Because what's an empowering story? It depends. So I said, you know, between hearing the news from Lindsay and a team member in surgery right now, and my dad having just fallen, and he fell on his face, and he was hurt his shoulder, hurt his neck. It could have been much worse. He was mowing the lawn. He's in his 80s. I said, sir, you know, like some part, and with the anniversary of my man's death, you know, and with Black Lives Matter, and I told you the story about the gun to his head, like, you know, lying on the ground years ago. And so these stories playing in my mind. I said, Sarah, like some part of me is just not feeling safe right now, you know? And like, I know it's just a passing thing. Like my, you know, yes, in the world, there's all this stuff happening, but around me right now, everybody personally is fine. You know, I mean, fine, they're safe, they're healthy, they're well, they're alive, right? And she said, well, you know, in the world, it doesn't necessarily feel safe right now. And I'm telling you this one piece at a time, because this is the best day for me to tell on myself and what creates an empowering story actually. How does this actually function? Lean in with your support structures, lean in with the, with those who will be there for you more than you know, right? And so what Sarah just echoed back to me, yeah, you know, a lot of things in the world don't feel safe right now. But Michelle, right now, you're safe, you're fine. And I paid attention to my own body, and in that moment, and this story is going to sound like a little bit on the dark side, but I know that this story is meant to serve and support. If it serves and supports even one of you here, or if it may serve and support you in a different moment. Again, the context of our lives right now, there's a lot going on for everybody. I said, Sarah, you know, I'm just feeling into my body. And when we said, when she said, yeah, you know, there's a lot in the world that doesn't feel safe right now. Like I could breathe better and my body felt better. And all of a sudden I felt fine. And then when she said, but Michelle, you're safe right now. You're fine. Everything in me tightened up. Because in the moment, I just wasn't feeling it. And that's okay. These things pass through me so much faster than they used to. Because I pay attention moment to moment to what's actually happening. Do I always feel safe? No. Do I always feel happy? No. Does it pass through me like lightning speed? compared to the way it did even a year ago or 10 years ago? And Yvonne is nodding. You know, Yvonne sees me in my darkest moment. Yvonne was one of the people I spoke to yesterday as well, right? So, and what causes that? No happy face on an empty gas gauge, not needing it to be the surface level empowering story. The one that allowed me to breathe is, well, right, in the world, it doesn't always feel safe right now. Oh yeah, that's right. Acknowledging that and being with that and just knowing, hey, here's where I am. And I am feeling that of what's happening in the world right now. That's just where I am right now. That's just satya, truthfulness. Allowed deep breath, allowed connection, allowed even some level, strangely enough, of, I don't know if joy is quite the right word, but maybe. Because I was there with my friend who knows me well, who was listening. You've got empowering, you've got, Barb, I'm so glad you're here live, because I think of you and you know that you have your ideal listeners in this community. I know you know that now. And if you've forgotten, remember. So we all have ideal listeners by virtue of, even if we've never ever felt it before, you have it in this community. In spades. Everybody here has been vetted. Everybody here has gone through that. Everybody has been personally like screened by me. And if they don't have that capacity, they're not in this community. They're just not. I send them somewhere else. And then it's a practice too that gets stronger and stronger in each one of us as we practice. And Yvonne has been my ideal listener for so many circumstances. 4 years ago to the hour, just about. Right? When she arrived at my doorstep. So which piece are you paying attention to? Are you being truthful with yourself about which piece you need to pay attention to right now and allowing yourself to be there? And the breath will come, and therefore the next step for you, sometimes in surprising places. And so you've heard me say this before, what's an empowering story? You know, is there a disempowering story going on somewhere? Check in with your body. I did that. I eat my own cooking. I did that yesterday. Check in with my body. The one that says the world doesn't feel safe right now. That's an empowering story for me right now. Weird, right? And the part of me that has played the story for 25 years sits aside and watches that and going like, how interesting is that? And it brings my teacher side back. It brings my, all those years of story back in, and it kind of comes in the back door. And then the next step that feels like it should be empowering wasn't. No, right now, I don't particularly feel safe with so many people that I know who are hurting right now. The world doesn't quite feel safe. I've been suffering from a fair bit of back pain. I'm pretty sure there's a physical component. I'm pretty sure this year is just grief. It's just grief moving through my body, and that's okay. So what are you paying attention to? Are you leaning in? Extreme self-care and love and kindness. One member of our community asked in the midst of the Love and Kindness series, we were about on this call, and she said, Michelle, we've learned so much about love and kindness. What would you say is the most important thing? Like, will you tell me, like, in all this, you know, there's a coming from love, not fear, and we've learned the metta meditation. Tell me what's the most important. And I was able to answer in one sentence, and I still stand by that. You first. You first, love and kindness for yourself first. It's not how we usually do it in the West. If there's one most important thing in this whole series, that comes first. So I don't have my usual, I'm sitting in a different place today. I just have to check the time. Okay, perfect. So you first. And then let it ripple out to others. And the metta meditation goes exactly in that order as well, right? So you first, and that doesn't happen unless we have satya from the yoga tradition, truthfulness. What is it that brings me more breath? Whatever the shape of the story looks like at that moment, it's sometimes counterintuitive. You know, I feel like the world is a safe place right now. Oh, okay, now I feel safe. Now I feel better. Saying that I'm safe, oh, I'll feel safe now. And from that place of a deep self-care, a deep self-love, a deep love and kindness for self, for wherever we are right now. You're angry, that's okay. You're feeling sad, that's okay. You're joyful, that's fine. You're feeling whatever it is, to have a spaciousness in and around that. That moves the world. It's that force, and I knew this was going to be a really important call. I don't remember speaking with all these components to this community ever. I've spoken different parts of it. Yvonne, maybe you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't remember ever putting things together in this way ever. And I've got Yvonne, you know, you're nodding, right? This is just downloaded to me. This is so important. Love and kindness for self first. It's going to come in weird ways. Story is filled with weirdness and paradox. Don't worry about the shape of it. If you're breathing better, there's an empowering story for you there. And also that when we do that, it's these same things that allowed me to go from, you know, learning of my man's death to 2 days later, driving to teach a week-long retreat and all the things that had to happen before that. It gives us power. It gives us focused intentionality. It gives us strength and ability to take that next step and also to not cover over, because sometimes, like, if I had, and Sarah quickly readjusted in that conversation, right? So when I said, oh, no, that one's empowering, that one's not. It's like, okay, and then we just stayed with, wow, right? And we dove into, again, super counterintuitive. Because Sarah's been working with story with me for so long, she can help me with story. You know, she's been learning from me as well as I've been learning from her for over 6 years, weekly. So she's like, great, you know? Yes, the world doesn't feel safe. And we just dove into that story. And the more we dove in, the better I was breathing, the better I felt. Counterintuitive. Yeah, the world doesn't feel safe. There's all this stuff about Black Lives right now. And there's COVID-19. Right? For some of you, that might be pushing your panic button right now. And for some of you, you might be going, right, you might be breathing better. It's what's an empowering story is highly, highly individual. And this is going to set us up too for both stories that sell now and story foundations, because we need to be able to digest our own stories before we can then speak them from stage. Right now, I'm speaking from stage to you. I can only watch Yvonne and Barb. I don't know the effect on you listening to it afterwards. Steve, you told me you'd be listening after. Hi, Steve. Others listening to it afterwards. Hi, Marla, Lindsay, you're live, but I can't see you. I don't know the effect on you. And this story is pretty hot off the press, so it might be having good effects or bad effects. But this is the inside the party version. And I trust you guys to hear at the highest level. And I just want you to know that it doesn't have to look the way you think it looks, that it's supposed to look for it to be empowering. And lean in with this community and ask questions and see how your body feels about it. And then give yourself a space. Don't do what I just did here. I'm trusting that this is going to serve. Absolutely. But I wouldn't speak this way from a stage with people that I don't know, for instance. It's too soon. It's too raw. And so they would have a less of a chance to hear, right? It could mess up. It could backfire over there, right? But with you guys, it's already been a deep dive journey. And I wanted you to see what this looks like in the midst of the story. I wanted you to see the non-pretty version of here I am. It's like, it's messy. And it can be profoundly generative of amazing things in our companies and in our lives when we let the story be the messy thing that it is. Oh, let me give the example is coming up, and my editor was going, don't say this one, don't say this one, don't say this one. So I'm going to say it, of course. Here's an example of a messy story. I gave you one example of the world doesn't feel safe. Here's another example of a messy story. When 4 years ago today, and through those couple of days, and Yvonne knows this very well, sometimes we were laughing together, sometimes we were crying together, and we were also trying to get a bunch of stuff done because I needed to buy a vehicle, get my new visa, get car insurance, and a whole bunch of other things, functional things that had to happen. And within the space, get my washing machine fixed, make sure my daughter was safe at school, all in a couple of days, pack up props to go, because in those days I was, you know, carrying props. Like, there were a whole bunch of functional things that had to happen as all this was going on. So different things were happening, and I didn't know anything about, like, technically about grieving, but I knew that sometimes my, you know, I'd all of a sudden the grief would just wash over me and I would just start to cry and shake. And then I would stop and I would move on to the next thing. And then a friend of mine who's been studying and teaching and training in around grief for about 20 years, so deep dive, she said, oh yeah, that's what's supposed to happen. And that's what usually gets blocked in people's bodies. And then it gets stuck there for years. She's like, how cool, you know, you did exactly what you're, you know, how grief is supposed to move. I didn't know that. I wasn't a grief specialist. I had no idea. But I knew what felt empowering in the moment. And I didn't care what it looked like. And I just let things move through my body the way it felt right to do so. And she said, you know, it comes back years later for people because they just, you know, stop things. They block the process in their bodies. So I don't know if we have anybody who knows more about grief than I do on this call. But so trust it. Don't worry about the shape of it. And the empowering story is not always the one that looks like it has an empowering shape to it. And we're going to learn more about that this summer. And then take some time to digest it. And you can ask me questions about that before you try to share it from stage. This is raw and real. And again, I would never share it this way from stage. I told you this was going to be a special call. This is like, this is truly inside the party. Is this, for those so I can see, is this helpful? This is a genuine question. If you go, Michelle, this is like, no, please get on to other stuff. Does this feel helpful to you? Because I just wanted, like, what's it actually really look like? Because sometimes we beat ourselves up too. It's like, my story is not having that nice arc and nice shape. And what am I doing wrong? Whatever. It's, I wanted you guys to know that it's okay, whatever it's looking and feeling like. So is this, has this been helpful? I see two of you nodding. Okay. Mary Kay, hi. I know you've just arrived a little more recently. So I'm like, I don't know. I'll go back and listen. Okay. And no happy face on empty gas gauge even about that, right? Because in this moment, you might feel like you need to say yes. That would not be an empowering story. And Yvonne's shaking her head no, right? So just moment, stories happen moment by moment by moment too. There can be social pressure to go, yes, of course this is helpful, Michelle, right? Don't do that. Okay. Now, how can we tell when it's actually an empowering story? Every single principle that we're learning all year long is a piece of the puzzle. Every single principle, there's nothing that's extra or I would take it out. And over the years, some things have shifted and changed. The Allow series, the core things that I've been teaching for 10 years, these things have not changed because I keep coming back to them. And it's like, this is what creates the empowering story, right? So each one moves a needle for what we can focus on. What structures of sales and team and support we have in our lives, what inner resilience we have, how we can even recognize whether a story is empowering or not, for our greatest success and for our lives as well. And thank you, Marla. I just saw your note. This is very helpful. I'm so glad. I have my own editor too, because I'm like, can I be this raw and real with you guys? There was different content that I originally had scheduled for today. And in my own yoga practice, I realized, no, this is what's needed. This is what's real. This is going to, if it helps even one person at the level that I'm doing my best to aim it at, if you're hearing what I'm saying here, this could be life and company changing. Yeah, Barb, I see you getting it. Good. Okay. So one of those crucial components for that empowering story is the metta meditation. And I decided that what I wanted to do with you guys today, I've got a couple questions on deck that I want to answer. And then we're just going to do a deeper dive into the metta meditation. And I'm hoping there'll be time afterwards for your questions as well. I think the reason I want to do this deeper dive in it in a way that I don't remember doing since 2013 in this community is because of the societal context right now. The metta meditation has always been important, but I think it has never been more crucial. So I wanted to open up more space, and I trust things that get downloaded to me in my yoga practice. You know, the universe, just, the idea came to me, I didn't originate it. I was like, oh, right, that's what we need, right? Remember, one hour of work in the inner world, 7 hours of work in the outer world, are you working too hard? I was trying to make the content fit the one that we're gonna do actually next week instead. And I was like, it wasn't working, even though it's usually the content for this week. That's because what's required is a deeper dive into the metta meditation. So I wanted to start with the context of story, and what empowering stories look like, because that's why we've got the love and kindness series too. How do we create that empowering story? Well, if we don't have love and kindness at the heart of it, I don't know how to make it happen. And we need love and kindness on so many levels. We need love and kindness for ourselves as the master storyteller of our companies, right? As the creator of the stories of our companies and our lives. We need love and kindness for ourselves as creative beings, because to be an entrepreneur is a creative endeavor. So we need love and kindness for ourselves as writers and teachers, because if we're helping people, we are teachers and uplifters to our core. So we need love and kindness toward ourselves and the multiple aspects of ourselves. We need love and kindness toward our, and even need is not quite the right word. Let me say we want to have. It is better to have. It is helpful to have. Need sounds like raga, attachment, right? We want to have. It is empowering to have. It's good to have loving kindness toward our ideal clients, toward our team, toward the words that we write and put up on our websites, toward our online presence, toward whatever we have of branding, if it's just a word or we've been working hard for the branding of our company or anything in between, like all the aspects of our company, all the people around us, and for ourselves first. Without that love and kindness, I don't know how to create an empowering story. Maybe it's possible, but I don't know how to do it. And you'd have to ask somebody else who knows how, right? And so loving kindness at multiple levels. Because otherwise, we're going to get stuck in this. For instance, if there isn't loving kindness toward ourselves, and instead we're just enmeshed in guilt or unworthiness or whatever it is, right? Then when we get to that bottom place in the story, we're going to think, oh, that's it. This is my destiny. I'm only, you know, this level of, like Gay Hendricks, this level of success and happiness, and that's just my lot. We won't move forward in the story without a deeper love and kindness for ourselves. Without love and kindness for our team, the hero's journey, for instance, one shape of an empowering story, only because our lives, when they are moving forward in productive ways, sometimes feel like that. It's not the only shape of an empowering story. If you don't know about the hero's journey, Joseph Campbell, it's really, you know, popular out there these days. You can easily find it. But it's one form of an empowering story. And the shape of it is something happens to shake up our world. So we move into an adventure. We need allies beside us, people who will walk along the journey with us. We need a mentor. We get to a place that feels like we've died. We move through it to the other side. We learn something that we bring back to our communities. That's a very entrepreneurial journey. And if you think about the entrepreneur's journey, and when it's working well, it also often has that shape. That is one form of an empowering story. Well, we need those allies. Those are, two of them yesterday for me, Yvonne and Sarah and Amy on the team. She spent time with me yesterday, right? Some of you were sending me, you know, amazing and beautiful notes, knowing what time it is for me, my family, right? So we need those allies around us. And if we don't have a capacity of love and kindness toward them, if we're just mad at our team because they did something that we thought was wrong, if we're angry at ourselves for not having a team, if we think we don't have a team, but we could and we do, but we're just not actually recognizing them because they're not in a traditional team form. So they're, maybe it's a sister or a friend or our dog, right? A horse. And we're not actually giving them the credit where credit is due. So there's a piece of love and kindness that's missing for ourselves and for them. I don't know how to create that empowering story. For the words that we set to the page, Mexico does this, you know, a big part of one piece of Mexico, let me say that, is to start falling in love with our words. Because if we go, wow, well, that's a stupid thing on our website. I hate that. That's dumb. What are other people going to say? Love and kindness at all levels of our company, at all levels of our being. So if that's a crucial piece for every aspect of our companies, then what is it that allows us to come from love, not fear? Well, the metta meditation, right? The metta meditation, it's huge. And Let me see. So yeah, so we're going to go into that practice today, but I want to turn to first two things. One, for those who are here and can actually speak, I'd love to hear one thing that's opening in you now, one aha, because I want to hear if you're hearing what I'm doing my best to express when it's pretty raw. Don't try to express things when it's this raw, all right? It's right on the anniversary of Shelley's death. This stuff is pretty raw. I'm not articulating it probably as well as I might a different day, but you also get to see an aspect of me that you won't see a different day. And I just wanted you to get to see this, what it feels like as you're moving through it. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah, like what is it live and raw and real on the court? So when you have these moments, you're not going to think something's gone wrong. Nothing's gone wrong. So one aha, what's opening for you right now, so that I know that something of what I'm endeavoring to transmit is being transmitted. Yvonne, you're in my upper left-hand corner. Let's have you start.
Thank you for modeling for us. Like I'd heard many times before not to share your raw stories from stage.
Yeah.
And so for you to model for us how to, you know, how you're processing a story, and how you're, you know, showing us how to digest a story before we take it out into the world. I think that's a really key piece for all
of
us.
Thank you. It's one of the reasons I wanted to do this. If I had shared the content from next week instead, it would come from a much headier place, and it could have been a great call, but it would not be this call. And this is the only time that you guys could see this call. This is kind of a little bit raw and ragged. And I don't want you to share from stage in this way, but I'm trusting your ability to hear and to see what it feels like. And so Yvonne, I'm so glad you heard that, right? Because I want you to know that when you come to these places, nothing's gone wrong. And the best way I can show you that is just to show you this. Okay? Thank you, Yvonne. And I would not share this on a stage where there's people I don't know, or where there's, you know, there's a great possibility of mishearing. Well, that was kind of, you know, because it's going to have raw edges. It's going to be messier. The story won't have as neat a punchline. There's going to be some of me that's going to be caught up in there. And so when you can see that, and we'll take this further in Stories That Sell Now and Story Foundations, how to take it from this place to something that's better digested, to something that you can share from stage, you will have this to go back on. And for those who have ears to hear, this could be the most important call all year, even though it's messier, even though it's a little ragged, even though it doesn't have as much of a number one, number two, number three. I could have done that because I have skill with words. I chose not to, so that you could see this. Yvonne, thank you. You heard. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Barb.
Well, thank you, yes, for sharing this and helping us realize that an empowering story can be messy, mm-hmm, but that's okay for an empowering story to be messy and not, you know, perfectly constructed and with a happy ending.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you for hearing it. And I think that the way that story gets taught so much out there, like we so want everything to look neat and tidy. And it's why I was really happy that this happened to land, you know, that we set this call for this date, because no better time to be able to see this. And I'm hoping that this will bring some gentleness for one of you, maybe today, maybe one of you, it might even be somebody who gets nothing out of this call today, but 3 months and 2 days from now, or whatever it is, we'll remember this call and we'll hear something different in it because of something messy that's happened, and a greater gentleness towards self. Remember, love and kindness towards self first will happen from the memory of this call that might not even have looked like anything because you're in a different energy right now. So it might, for some of you listening to this, you might go, well, that was really messy and that was really, and I already knew that, or whatever it is. This may serve you a different date. And for some people, this could clearly be the most important call of the year. And I've not, Yvonne, have you seen me do a call like this in this community before? I've not done this before. I trust you guys to hear. And if you don't, oh well, not like Steve modeled so beautifully for us last week, not everything will be, you know, Sandra Yancey has great words for this. What did she say? You know, it's basically your whatever is somebody else's goal. She has a nice little phrase for that. So for some of you, you might not be hearing much today. That's okay. Somebody else, it could utterly transform their company, utterly transform their life. And again, I wouldn't do this without an audience of, without, you know, this is in-house. This is not for public broadcast. Thank you, Barb. I know you heard. Messy, yes, the messiness. So when you get to your own messy part in the story, you're not going to push it away, gloss it over, think something has gone wrong. Good. Mary Kay.
Well, just from where I came in on, the multiple phases is going. Different phases of the story, and kind of what hit me was that the phase that I'm in the, you said, the entrepreneur's journey, and it could be a phase that could stop me in my tracks, but hearing this, it won't.
So if there's anybody who's listening, and I hear that the three that I can see, and I know Marla was saying, and I know Lindsay, you're not in the space to speak, just receive the words today, okay? Marla, I know you were saying, oh, what are the things that were happening earlier were really helpful, so fantastic. So for those who are here, I know you're hearing, if somebody's listening afterwards and you're going like, what is this anyway? I thought this was going to be a special call, and this one's just really weird and contentless. For some people, your ears might hear it that way. Please hear what has been spoken by you guys. I know you're hearing it. And Mary Kay, like, that's fantastic. So for those who are listening afterwards, you just said there are things that could have stopped you that now won't because of this call. If those who are listening afterwards, if you have ears to hear what Mary Kay just said, that is what I call superpower, being bigger than any obstacle. It's one of the things that we are learning all year long, but I don't always name it, right? But that's what an empowering story is. That's part of what, like in the hero's journey, we get to this place where we feel like we've died, or the hero in the journey often dies and comes back to life, right? Sometimes in our stories that we watch, they actually die. And we're moved by that because we feel like we've died, or somebody that we love dies, or like it feels like a living death, right? And so that's the place in the story that a lot of people backtrack. A lot of people move away. A lot of people tell a new story that is not an empowering story. It's like, well, I didn't really want that after all. Well, it was a really wrong direction anyway. Well, it's like all these stories that sound empowering sometimes that are actually just excuses at one level sometimes, or sometimes they are ourselves beating ourselves up without knowing it because it looks empowering. I'm going to go in this direction instead because so-and-so said so, and it's going to be better anyway. But really at some other level, it's like, wow, I couldn't keep going forward because I was scared, because I was afraid, because it got too messy, because it didn't look right, because an empowering story doesn't look that way, and I get stopped. I don't need to be stopped there. Mary Kay, something you want to add?
It was kind of a part of a question I had thought of asking. I was mulling over asking, and the part about feeling like everything's died and feel like I sort of died on the vine kind of place. And I just been kind of staying there, but like I was trying to form a question maybe for next time. So you've probably already answered it.
So interesting, because you went toward the question and then backed away from it, I think. Is that correct? Or did I mishear?
I don't know.
Okay. I'm not completely sure. It would take more investigation. It might be what just happened now, or it might be something else. But it is possible. And we're not going to take the time to investigate for sure what happened inside you, if that's okay. But hearing those words, one possible thing that might have happened, whether this happened for you or not, somebody in this place having said those words, what might have just happened is a moving toward a story or moving toward a question. And then, maybe you've already answered it and I'm moving away from it again. You, with your words, might have, yeah, you hear that, right? Might have just illustrated the very thing that I was talking about. We move towards something and then we back away from it without even knowing that we've just done it. Mm-hmm. And again, this might be what just happened to you or somebody else speaking the words that you just spoke. That could have happened to them. And it's very subtle. We move forward. We move back. We don't even know we've done it because it got too messy or because we think maybe it'll be the wrong question or because we think that, hey, it could be. And again, this might or might not be happening to you, Mary Kay, but it could have been. I came in a little bit later, so maybe it was answered earlier. So maybe I better not take up too much space or too much time because it might have been before. So I'll formulate a better formed question for next time. This might not be what happened to you. We would need more time to investigate it. But somebody saying the words that you just said, that could have been what happened. And it might be an exact illustration of the very thing that I was just talking about. Moving forward, backing off without even knowing it, and then we get stopped. I don't think you're at a place where you're going to get profoundly stopped by this, Mary Kay, but you just gave us the opportunity to see a profound illustration of that forward and back movement. Are you hearing me?
That's what it feels like. It's forward and back, but it's not stopping.
Right. Yes. And so in you, it might end up being an empowered place. In somebody else, it might not be. And it might be that subtle movement forward and then got into messy, and then they back up. You have more internal training than that. So I don't think it's going to stop you. But for somebody else, all it would have taken is just exactly what you said and then back off. And that's a company that, gets created or gets backed off of and doesn't exist even, or goes away or goes under or whatever, or because of that small move. And that is an illustration of exactly why I wanted to have this call in this way today. If you understood those words, because this is not editor 101. This is not story 101. This is high level training around story. So if you're going like, what? Don't worry, you have the recording. But if you just caught what I said about Mary Kay, that could be moving forward and moving away. It happens at that subtle level and it can be company stopping. Raise your hand. Did you watch what happened? Could you hear it? Super freaking cool. All right. So an empowering story comes in shapes that we don't always expect. Loving kindness needs to be at the heart of it. Otherwise, I don't know how to make that empowering story, and the meta meditation crucial in this, especially now. So we're going to go to doing that meta meditation together in a moment. I want to answer the couple of questions that are on deck. Let me see. Yeah, that's right. Anything bursting to be said, without which we can't go forward. Because otherwise the next piece won't be heard. Okay. If this is helpful to you, and no happy face on empty gas gauge, if this is helpful to you, raise your hand. Is making sense? It'd be helpful. Okay, that's 100% of those I can see. Okay, fantastic. So Jasmine posted a question. What are the times and dates for the two story courses? I mentioned those at the beginning, I believe. July 28th to September 1st on Tuesdays, and Thursdays, July 2nd to July 20th. Then Yoga for Entrepreneurs is July 10th. So carve out those dates. And if we don't have the most updated calendar to you, Yvonne, could you help me with this? That should be coming out, I would say, within the next week, if not sooner. So can you make sure that I connect with Emily and make sure we get that out? Thank you. Jasmine said, what are your best thoughts about running a Facebook challenge to promote my business? So this is a nuts and bolts kind of question. I want to give a first level answer. And Jasmine, I hope you're listening to this recording, and then ask a follow-up question, but I want to give a first level answer both for you and for others. And it's about marketing versus sales. So as some of you may remember, Jasmine was like, she was like a powerhouse, unstoppable, you know, in terms of strategy session after strategy session, right? And had some profound wins from that. But just because the high ticket virtual retreat season ends doesn't mean that we stop the work of the high ticket virtual retreat. If you left that behind, like Yvonne's action, was it last call or the call before? It's like, wow, I'm going to go back and listen to that again. Because it doesn't stop just because we're not doing that and we're doing a different component, you know, at a different time in the year, right? So Jasmine, if you, and this is for all of you, right? So, but answering particularly for Jasmine, if you have 100 people in front of you or 10 people in front of you even, and you don't have high ticket clients yet, I'm just going to flat out say it's not the time to do a Facebook challenge. I'm just going to be direct. And I'm not saying that you can't gather through that way. I'm not saying that it's, you know, it's not wrong. It's just, I have very strong opinions about it. And then you can decide to do what you want to do. But I always want to help you get there the easy way. And I know when I first started marketing and sales, because I come from an academic and yogic background, I don't, you know, I don't have a business degree. So as I was learning this, I remember it used to sound to me like marketing and sales, like all one word. If you understand what I'm meaning, raise your hand. Like it's just all that marketing and sales division of the company. And it wasn't until several years in that I started hearing the distinction between them, even though I knew, I didn't really knew I wasn't enacting it. Marketing and sales are very, very different parts of the story, very, very different parts of your company. Marketing, a Facebook challenge is simply marketing. It is not sales, it's marketing. Writing a book is marketing. It's like a book is a really good business card. It's marketing, not sales. Your website is marketing, not sales. Facebook ads are marketing, not sales. And until you've, I would even say for the vast majority of entrepreneurs, certainly even until you've crossed that six-figure line in your company, marketing is not where to put your attention, it's sales. That's a pretty good rule of thumb. And for some people, it may be different, but if you're unsure, that's probably the, that's, you know, a good rule of thumb. If you're not crossed that six-figure line yet, your energy needs to be in sales, which is why we've got the high-ticket virtual retreat, which is about sales, because marketing, you need far fewer people in front of you than you think. And start with high ticket. That's the easy place. If you've already got 100 people in front of you, Jasmine, what I would be doing is working on now increasing your close ratio. How many people are saying yes? You already got those people in front of you. A Facebook challenge just puts more people in front of you, but you need to hone your offer now and hone your ideal client. And next week's call is going to do some work on that ideal client, which also helps with the offer. All right. So I would be listening carefully to next week's call. And all the headaches are in the front end. All the rewards are in the back end. All it does is it increases the headaches and increases expenditure. Facebook challenges done well are cost thousands of dollars. And if it's not done well, what's the point? And instead, you could just go back to the high ticket virtual retreat. It's deeper into what we've already been doing. Go back to the high ticket virtual retreat. Get that next person in front of you. The high ticket virtual retreat tells you exactly how to do it. And then ask me questions about closing the sale so that your sales ratio should be about 1 in 4. It says yes, or 1 in 5 when you're beginning. And if it's less than that, you aren't putting the right people in front of you yet, or you haven't honed the skill yet. Don't put more people in front of you, because it'll be from that same unhoned offer and unhoned ideal client. So you need to dig back into the strategy session even deeper. What are the questions you're asking? What's the pain that they're saying? And hone that skill and go in front of those very same people if you want. Hey, just wanted to catch up. You got 100 calls in front of you. Why would you put more people in front of you before honing the skill of sales? Because then you have to go through, like, and Jasmine, kudos to you. Great work, right? But why would you want to go through those 100 people? And again, getting better and better, but until you're closing 1 in 5 or 1 in 4 or 1 in 3, it's all sales. And if you're closing every single one, it's still sales because you're not charging enough, right? So sales, not marketing, because the marketing won't be effective if we don't have effective sales. It means we don't have the right words yet. So then that money spent, you might even increase your list by hundreds, or even maybe it's thousands of people, but you're going to have a mixture of a bunch of the wrong people probably, because the language hasn't been honed in around sales. That's worth the price of admission for the year, you, for all of you guys, if you had ears to hear. It would save you months and years. A lot of mistakes out there. All right. Great question, Jasmine. Follow up with other questions if you choose. Steve asked a bunch of questions about the meta meditation and asked me to, he couldn't sit, hi Steve, I know you're listening to this in the recording, so he couldn't be here live, but answer here anyway. And that was really helpful. He said, I won't be able to make it to tomorrow's call, but if it fits, feel free to answer and I'll listen later. Let me know that, right? Let me know. And then I know whether to answer it on that call or not, right? So Steve said, let me see. I've been focused mostly on loving kindness for myself. How will I know it's time to move to the next level? Those I love would seem to be relatively easy, but as I move to neutral and then the enemy, which strikes me harder than the world, how will I know when I'm ready to move on? And that's a great, great, great question. And Steve, and this is for everybody, first question I'd ask is, how do you feel? How do you feel? And that same answer that I gave about words when Sarah was saying to me yesterday, hey, Michelle, the world doesn't feel safe right now. And I was breathing better. And then it's like, hey, Michelle, but you're safe. Like it, at that moment, it's different today. It was different in 5 minutes later. But at that time, that's when I was breathing better. How much are you able to pay attention to how you're actually feeling? And the breath will tell you, your body will tell you, is your body hunched up? Is there constriction? Is there tightness? And it could be different on different days. Yesterday, I didn't do the loving kindness meditation yesterday. I don't do it every day. I did for years. It's still absolutely interwoven in my life in huge, huge ways. If I had done it yesterday, I was doing other practices, yoga, pranayama, meditation, right? Other kinds of meditations. But if I had done it yesterday, especially yesterday morning, I would have been saying, may I be safe? And I probably wouldn't have gone any further. Today, I would probably do the whole sequence, including enemy and the whole world, because that's how I'm feeling. But I would check in as I'm going. And if it started to catch, if my breath started to catch, I would just back up. It's a moment to moment thing. Great, great, great question. It tells me you're on the court doing it by the nature of your question. And so let me give you another example. So when I was doing this very regularly and my daughter was small, I felt concerned about her safety at certain times in my life and her life. And so I would go, she was the person that I went to next. I would say it for myself. I was fine. I would say it for her. And I would start to choke up. Very easy to tell. I just went back to me. And I did loving kindness for myself, as did my teacher at the time. I think she gave me freedom in that. She does this for, you know, full time. That's her work, is teaching, almost teaching meta meditation. And she's a psychologist. We used to teach workshops together many years ago. She did just for herself for at least a year, I think she told me once. And so at that time I did loving kindness just for myself for the entire year, I think, and then moved on to the next person. So there's not to be in a rush about it, not to be a timing about it. But at that time it was just me for a while. And other times, through years of my life, going through the whole of it was easy. And it's very moment by moment and day by day. It doesn't have to be just one thing. Check in. And the practice itself will also hone that, you know, how am I feeling in my body? Do I know how I'm actually feeling? Because I'm like, wow, I don't even know how I'm feeling. Oh, that's important. Well, go back to Shavasana. You know, starting each day with Shavasana will help you know how you're actually feeling. It does many, many things. It will help then let the loving kindness meditation be calibrated to what you need the most that day. So all these things work in concert with each other. When I move to the next level, do I continue for some portion of each meditation to include the prior levels? Should I always start with me for a bit and then move outwards? Unequivocally, yes. You always, it's self first, the loving kindness series, like self first, and the meta meditation always self first. So I would not sit down to do, maybe some people do that in the world. I don't know if they do. I don't think so. But I know in my own practice and the way that I've been taught, it always begins with self, always begins with self. So if I don't have time to sit for quite a while, it's just going to be for myself. And you can go through the different people reasonably quickly, or you could take hours over it. But if I only had a couple minutes, it's going to end up being just for myself, probably. All right. When I do those I love, is it better to focus on one each time, or is it okay to move from wife to daughter to family to close friends within the context of a single session, or am I better focusing on one at a time each time? The metta meditation, in my experience and the way I've been taught as well, it seems like it matters who that person is. It matters a lot and it matters not at all. It cultivates something in us no matter who we've chosen for that person. So traditionally, this is the way it's taught. Like, take one person, and what I've done is stayed with that person. Traditionally, for me, it's been my daughter. Not always, but take that one person and stay with them is really a good practice. Take a person and stay with them over the course of some chunk of time. Almost always in my practice of it, that person has been my daughter. Just so happens that they say, in the teachings, they say, don't choose a romantic partner. I've never heard it explained why, but the obvious answer, it seems to me, maybe there's going to be an entanglement of romantic love versus loving kindness versus, so they suggest that you not choose a romantic partner. It could be your dog. It could be an animal. It could be, you know, but one person that you feel unequivocal, unentangled love for. There's just easy, like Mary Kay, you're here. I imagine that, for instance, you know, one of your horses or a dog, or like that could be, doesn't have to be that, but we can feel it through you. So unequivocal. It's just like, there's no two ways about it. It's just simple. It's just easy. It's just like, wow, there's only nothing but love. Pick that person. Right. And then, so just one person. So the intention isn't to go from person to person to person who I love. It's one myself. And then that one loved one. And then I move on to a neutral person. For a long time, I chose the one of the tellers. This is a number of years ago, because I used to go into the bank, and I chose the teller at the bank. And I remember a story that Sharon Salzberg tells about this. She says, I think it was the bank teller or something like that, the person at the grocery store for her. And somebody pulled her, or whoever had the story, aside and said, like, are you guys having an affair or something? You know, with somebody who was like whispering to a friend, you know, because every time they spoke about that before neutral person, all of a sudden there was just this feeling of love for them. And they were neutral before. I don't feel positive. I don't feel negative. I just go there and get my money out of the bank. And I, right. And so just choose a single person. And just stay with them, because it cultivates that in us through the repetition, right? And it also tells us a lot when we get to the neutral person, because you might find that everybody in your life, you could pick anybody because you feel neutral about everybody. That tells you something about, and just notice about yourself. For some people, they have trouble finding a neutral person because you love or hate everybody. Just tells you something about yourself. So can you find that neutral person? And it will help you find that neutral space, for instance, in a strategy session. So you're not so the tug of push and pull of like raga, devasia. There's probably raga and devasia going on there too, like pulling toward and pushing away if there's nobody easily found who's neutral. So it tells us something about ourselves. The enemy, don't pick the worst enemy, the person who done me wrong, the, you know, the sports team, the person who's on the other team that, you know, it annoys you. That they're always winning on the opponent team or something that's lighter. Start there, all right? But I've not always done that. I have worked to somebody that at the time I felt had, you know, at the time it felt like they had deeply harmed me, and for, because I'd been practicing for a long time and I spent a year just for myself. And then with myself and my daughter, and suddenly this is a deep practice. I have done loving kindness many, many times for the people that at the time felt like they'd harmed me the most. Right. And then for the entire world. So, and Steve says, thanks. I can't say I've seen any obvious change, but I do feel different over the course of the meditation, even though it's only 5 minutes. Cool. Don't be attached to what it feels like. And this has profound effects, profound effects. All right. I spent longer, you know me, it's me, on the questions than I was intending to, but these were great, great questions, both nuts and bolts, and then how to do the meditation. What I want to do is anything burning to be said without which we can't go forward. All right. One, I want to hear, just so we consolidate this in a little mini consolidation. Yvonne, you first. One aha from these questions. So I know that something landed for you, not does this apply, how does this apply to me? What did you hear in this question piece then we're going to move on to the meta meditation itself.
Sales, sales, sales.
Thank you for hearing that. Thank you for hearing that. It is one of the deepest reasons that companies fail. All the headaches in the front end, all the rewards in the back end, not enough love and kindness for self. So whether unworthiness or guilt or that moving forward and then backing off. And then we spend time in marketing because it feels easier because we can just talk to those faceless, nameless masses in building our website and doing Facebook posts and in carving out a Facebook ad, in doing a Facebook, what do you call it? The challenge. And we can feel really busy and feel really like we're working hard on our companies, and it can just drain everything. Let me see. So sales, sales, sales. Yes, absolutely. High ticket virtual retreat, central. Easier than we think, but only when we've also cultivated that loving kindness toward ourselves, which builds also confidence, which builds a sense of deep well-being. So these, the loving kindness series and the high ticket virtual retreat, also work hand in hand, right? All the pieces fit together. Okay, so Lindsay, heard that I need to remember to write down the questions that have come up so I can actually ask them. I had several of you I should ask. No. Wait, what was the question I wanted to ask? Okay, no worries, Lindsay. Just wanted to make sure I didn't miss something over there. So, Yvonne, thank you. Yes, sales, sales, sales. Barb, you're aha.
The advice concerning 5-day challenges, because there's a lot of that going on right now.
It's so rampant. It's rampant. And I will tell you, too, about those 5-day challenges. This company, you may see us doing one this year, you may not. It depends on the stage of the company and what's the next important project. But if you guys have been around, you know that this company has toyed with them and then backed off. And, one of my mentors is Sandra Yancey. I was going to do one a couple of years ago. And she said, Michelle, I wouldn't do it. And this company had already grown and done a lot. And Sandra saved me 6 months off the journey at that time because we were all set to go. And I'm like, no, wait, no, it's not time in this company to do that. So a few years ago, it was podcasts. Everybody was doing a podcast. It's super sexy. This is all marketing. If you're not selling high ticket yet, and if you're not over that 6-figure line, it could drain tons of time and financial resources and people resources. And then it's going to be constructed, not aimed at that right ideal client anyway, because if the strategy sessions aren't closing, or if there's no confidence to do high tickets, so we're trying to sell 97-cent widgets, those are all structural problems in the company that get solved by going over there to the high ticket virtual retreat. Go there first. Thank you, Barb. It's huge. Tons of people waste tons of time. Mary Kay.
I have two ahas, and I think they're pretty big, so I'm going to say both of them. One is I've taught the meta meditation, but there's so much more I can teach and so much deeper, and that's exciting. And then somewhere along the line of understanding about marketing and sales, I actually felt a glimmer of excitement about sales.
Mary Kay, freaking awesome. Marketing at a certain stage of the company. I mean, you're doing marketing in a sense, just one-on-one. When you go to talk to somebody, you're going, hey, would you like to have a strategy session? So we're still marketing, you know, we're inviting people to come and chat with us, right? The inviting and getting people eyes in front of us. And that can be fun and worthwhile too. But without the sales, the marketing is meaningless. And the sales comes first. And the sales, when we are aligned with it, when we get it, it's joyful. This is the place where there's some beautiful soul in front of us who could be helped by our work. Why wouldn't we get jazzed about it? And sometimes because we're not jazzed about sales, we head on over to marketing because it feels safer. Am I coming from love or fear? We head on over to marketing because we're coming actually at some unconscious level from fear, and we can look really busy so we can pat ourselves on the back and feel like we're running our company and we're actually running away. But when we can find that joy in the sales, we're not going to find it over in marketing if we don't find it in sales first. And if we do find it in marketing first and then have all these people in front of us, and then we have nothing to sell them or we don't have the skill of sales, that's hyper painful. When we've got to find the joy in the marketing, in the sales first, thus high ticket virtual retreat. It's central. I'm so happy for you, Mary Kay. This is huge. All right. So the meta meditation. Anything burning to be said? Okay. So just a reminder too of the words. I wanted to show you these. These come, Marie's daughter, because of the work in this community, has made these now and sells them. And you can ask Marie if you want some of these. I have lots of them. May I be safe? I have multiple copies of them. May I be peaceful, happy? May I be healthy? Here's one of the ones with a handle. May I live with ease? All right, so these are the words. They're very, very simple. There's different kinds out there. Some of them say, may I be free from danger? I just think that the word danger makes us feel danger, even though we're saying free from, so I don't say it like that. And may I be safe? That feels good to me. So these words I've chosen, there's multiple different forms of the metta meditation out there. These are, you can alter the words as you see fit for you, but these are the words that I have used and have loved for many, many years, and they've touched many lives. So we're going to do this metta practice together so that you can feel how it actually goes. And I'm going to take you from the, I might have my eyes closed for some of it. We might go over if I'm the only one left here because you all had to leave on the hour. No worries, you'll have the recording. I won't take offense if you need to leave. And because for some of it, I'll certainly have my eyes closed. And if we go from may I be safe, may I be peaceful, happy, and you're finding your body is reacting and that you only need to go to may I be safe, then when I'm saying the words may I be peaceful, happy, in your mind, you can be hearing may I be safe, may I be safe, just may I be safe. Again, Marie did that for for an entire week long retreat. When we went through all the stages piece by piece, she just stayed with may I be safe, no matter how many times out loud I was saying something else. You can do that too, all right? And if we go from myself and then to a loved one and you find that loved one, and don't worry about it, just go with the loved one that comes to mind. You don't have to stick with them forever. Don't have attachment about it. Don't be pushing away. It's just like, let that person arise and go with it. It's okay. You can choose a different person tomorrow. Let there be ease and spaciousness around this, okay? Don't choose when we get to the, if you decide to go to that stage, to the difficult person, traditionally known as the enemy, in this meditation, do not pick the person who's harmed you, it feels to you has harmed you the most in your lifetime. Pick somebody who's a little annoying to you, right? And sometimes, I know for me, they traded places on a given day. I mostly stuck with the same people for a long, long time, but on a given day, sometimes I would change. Use the practice as it works for you, all right? Know that this practice doesn't have like ironclad rules that if you break them, oh no, everything's going to happen. Everything's going to fall apart. That would be living life unconsciously as a tragedy. Just let it flow for you. Let it be easy. Let it work for you. And I think that's about it for instructions. Make sense? All right. So you can be camera on or camera off. It's up to you. I'm going to keep my camera on. And for this meditation, traditionally it's seated, but you can lie down if you choose. I've done lying down metta meditation. Metta, again, just means loving kindness many, many times in my life. So be comfortable. Be in a place, if you're seated, where you can be seated for a while. I think we will go probably till at least 5 after. Again, if you need to leave earlier, you can set yourself a little timer right now. If you have to leave right on the hour, in case you've got a meeting or something right afterwards, you can take that time and set yourself a timer so you won't be going, is it time yet? Is it time yet? Maybe I better leave, right? So release that. And so sit in a comfortable position. If you have glasses on, you can take them off. I'm going to do the same. I won't see you as well. That's okay. I don't need to see you. Glasses bring us out into the world. When we take glasses off, it allows that inward journey. And I'm going to add one more piece around because haven't done seated meditations very much. Have your feet firmly planted on the floor, or like I'm sitting cross-legged, that's comfortable for me. And if you're, do as we have done in yoga, if your knees are way up in the air, if your thighs are not parallel to the floor, sit on something so the thighs are parallel to the floor, or put some support beneath your feet. So take the time, just like we do in Shavasana, to set yourself up so you're comfortable. Depending on the length of your arms, often we need to put something on top of our legs so that our hands can rest on a book or on a folded blanket or on a pillow so that the arms don't have to work. Again, it depends on the length of the arms, but for most people, have something on top of the legs so that the arms can rest. And the arms are not way out there at the knees. They're not usually right at the groins. They're somewhere in the middle, palms up or palms down. Whatever is the most comfortable for you, so that the shoulders can, and you can try it both ways, palms down. Sometimes that feels more grounded to me. Palms up, it lets me open the shoulders more easily. Can you feel that? The groundedness of palms down, the openness of the shoulders and palms up. So you choose. And again, softly close your eyes. And if you need to move, you can. You're in charge here, okay? If you need to move to be comfortable, if you're able to, you can just stay still. Softly close your eyes. Heart center open. And just feel the breath, whatever position you've chosen, seated, lying down. Let the heart center be open. Let the breath be easy. And if you're seated, feel as though a string is pulling the crown of the head toward the sky. So the body is upright, neither leaning forward nor back. If you're lying down, make sure that the heart center is open. So you can even lie on a bolster or a folded blanket. Lie somewhere comfortable. And if you're lying down, you could put an eye bag over the eyes or a cloth just to help that inward journey. And just to help that inward journey. So just take a few breaths here in this quiet place. And notice where there's tension in the body. And anywhere where there's tension, just as we do in Shavasana, just breathe into that spot and let it go. I had that too. It was in my fingers. Didn't notice it till I said it. For you, maybe it's in your abdomen or your shoulders, the jaw, some typical places. Once I noticed it, my fingers curled more. What is it for you? Breathe into that spot. Let it go. Soften the face. Soften the jaw. Relax the jaw all the way up to the hinge near the ears. Tongue resting gently in the bottom of the mouth. Teeth slightly parted. Lips touching, not touching. The same things we do to allow our body to be in a receptive state for Shavasana, we do the same thing for seated meditation. Open heart, quiet mind, ease of breath. And notice whatever you're feeling in your heart center right now. Just notice what's there without judgment. Just like I did yesterday with Sarah on the call, I gave you that example. Just noticing what's there and how, just noticing. Any feelings of tension or anxiety, any negative feelings or tightness. Just notice it without judgment. See what's in your heart center. And then with each exhalation, you can imagine you're exhaling out through the soles of your feet. Just exhale and let whatever is of negativity or tightness, just let it go as not needed right now. in whatever form it comes. Anything that's causing tightness or unease, unworthiness, anything like that, just let it go. It's not needed right now. You can pick it up later if you choose. Don't worry. Any worry, let that go too. Just not needed right now. And then in its space, in that kind of vacuum created in the heart center, then as you let those things go, allow the heart center to be filled with feelings of love and kindness and ease, gratitude, well-being. Don't try to conjure up a feeling. There's nothing you need to feel here. Just allow anything like that to enter in, just with ease. No attachment. Feelings of spaciousness. Feelings of well-being. Perhaps joy. Perhaps simply a neutral space. Just that all is well. Just a knowing that whatever the surface of things right now, that in the universe, that all as well, with this moment, this breath. And just let feelings of love and kindness for yourself to start entering into your heart center. And know that your desire for love and kindness for yourself, it's natural and good. Allow yourself to feel the positivity of these feelings. Know that it's natural to want that for yourself. Others want that too. And it's right and good to allow that space for loving kindness for yourself to enter into your heart. To feel the ease, perhaps joy of that, making space in your heart, that loving kindness, sense of well-being for yourself. And here you can recite those words of loving kindness for yourself. May I be safe. May I be peaceful, happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. Each time we say the words, just as though you were holding them in your open palms or just rolling them around on your tongue, nothing you need to feel, no special thing you need to conjure up, just letting the words be there for yourself. May I be safe. May I be peaceful, happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. And again, feeling those feelings of well-being, love and kindness, allowing them to well up in the heart center in whatever way they are, knowing it's perfect for you today. Whatever you're feeling or not feeling, it's all good. It's all perfect for you. This moment here and now. And then calling to mind a loved one someone that it's so easy to feel feelings of love and generosity for, someone that it feels just automatic and easy, brings a smile to your face, that person. And feel them, bring them close to your heart center now. Know that just like you, they long to be happy. They long to be free. And that it's right and good to, for them to feel they want those feelings of loving kindness, of safety, of joy for themselves as well. How natural that is. How perfect that is for them to want that for themselves. Just as you do for you. And so in this quiet place, we say those words of love and kindness for that loved one. May you be safe. May you be peaceful, happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. And allowing those feelings of love and kindness, and ease, joy, well-being to well up in your heart center. No attachment to what arises, just noticing what's there. As you bring to mind this person, this or animal, this being who is so easy to love. Dwelling in those feelings. In this quiet place. And always staying with this part of the practice, whichever part of the practice is right for you. You can get off the bus wherever you want. Just may I be safe if that's what's right for you. Myself, the one that I love so dearly, so easily. And then bring to mind a neutral person. Someone you feel neither love nor hate for. Perhaps it's someone, if it's someone that you see or have seen on a regular basis, that can be helpful, but not necessary. Just go ahead and choose that person who comes to mind. Know that they're perfect for here and now. That person, just right. And know that they too, like you, wish to be happy, wish to be loved, wish to be safe. That feeling in them is so natural, so good. And we say the phrases of love and kindness for that person here and now, keeping them in our heart center, holding them close to our hearts. May you be safe. May you be peaceful, happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. And noticing these feelings of loving kindness as they've come up in you. For me, I can feel the tingling in my chest, my fingers, my hands, my arms, my feet. For you, it may feel nothing. For you, it may feel something. Whatever it is, know that it's right. It's perfect. It's your perfect practice today. You're doing well. You're doing so well. You're doing this exactly perfectly for you today. All is well. And then bring to mind a difficult person, someone that perhaps you've struggled with. You may know them personally. It may be somebody on TV. Not the most difficult person ever. Just somebody traditionally known as the enemy. For today, somebody a level of annoyance. Would rather not have them in the way. Somebody is difficult. Got them? Again, you can get off the bus wherever you want today. Bring this person close to your heart center. Know that they too wish to be happy, wish to feel whole, wish for loving kindness for themselves. And knowing that this wish for loving kindness for themselves is right and good, we say the words of loving kindness for them. May you be safe. May you be peaceful, happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. And just noticing in your own heart center whatever's come up for you today. Knowing that this practice is perfect for you today. And paying special attention to any feelings of loving kindness or openness